Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, April 23rd, 2014 variance hearing. Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Ava Atahera-Taylor, who's at the controls for the hearing today. Also, acknowledging that today is Administrative Professionals Day, I'd like to thank Ava for her years of service with the city, first with the fire department and now with the planning department for the past 4 years, and ensuring that these hearings happen, that they happen on time and in a professional manner, and also processing letters of determination and working with the Board of Appeals. So thank you, Ava, for your continuing service.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So if everyone could please have a seat. I know we have a pretty full hearing today. There are some seats in the front row, and I see some seats in between. Some general information about the hearing. For order of presentation, project sponsors and or applicants will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to grant a variance have been met. Any members of the public, either opponents or proponents, will be allowed 3 minutes to speak each. We don't have speaker cards. Just when the item is called and we call public comment, just please step forward at that time. If there is any public comment in opposition to the project, then the project sponsor or applicant will be given a 3-minute rebuttal. At the end of the hearing, we have a general public comment period for items that are not on the calendar. And now for the criteria for justifying a variance, Planning Code Section 305C states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding number one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. Finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the master plan. I would also note that we do hear some items at these hearings which are not actually variances. They may be modifications of planning code provisions. And there's actually two cases on the calendar today. We'll get into those other findings that are relevant for those projects at that time. Just wanted to note that at this point. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to the current backlog and number of cases, the decision letter may take up to 2 months to issue. If anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, please sign in on the sign-in sheet against the far wall. And that's very important because it's the decision letter itself which has the appealability. So it's appealable within 10 days of the decision, of the issuance of the written decision. Other items, private conversations can be disrupted during the hearing. While we do encourage the parties to meet and discuss, we would ask that be done outside so as to not disturb others who have their items today. Also, please turn off any cell phones or other noise-making devices during the hearings. We do have audio recordings of these hearings going back a couple years now, and they are available on our website. So we begin with a few housekeeping items and wanted to note that expect that many of you will actually be here for public comment items 16 and 17, which are 1364 to 1370 Pacific. Given that we do have a limited amount of time here, I'm going to move those items to the end of the calendar, and we will hear items 18 and 19 before that, items 16 and 17. So that's 214 Chenery and 2479 Francisco. And then the balance of the hearing, the end of the hearing, we can deal with the two items which I think will have the most public comment. Our next hearing is on May 28th. Forgot to mention that. But now we can move on to items for continuance.
We have four items for to be continued. First item to be continued on Thursday, May 22, 2014, at the regularly scheduled weekly planning commission hearing here at City Hall, room 400, case number 2010.0931V, 2825 Lake Street, rear yard and side yard variances sought.
Is there any public comment on that item? And this is to move it to a joint hearing with the Planning Commission because a discretionary review was filed. So seeing no public comment, we will move this item to the May 22nd variance hearing. It would be a combined variance DR hearing. And
there's two items also to be continued on next month's Wednesday, May 28, 2014, at our regularly scheduled monthly variance hearing. Item number two, case number 2013-0554V, 2150 Bush Street and 51 Wilmot Street, minimum lot area and rear yard variances sought. Item number three, case number 2013-1734V, 319 Laidley Street, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on these two items? And that, again, that's 2150 Bush Street and 319 Laidley Street. And that's continuing 1 month because the sponsors did not post the posters on the property. So seeing no public comment, move those items to May 28th hearing.
And another item going to move to Wednesday, August 27, 2014, at our regularly scheduled monthly variance hearing. Case number four, item number four, case number 2013-1780V, 437 Burnett Avenue, rear yard, variance sought.
And any public comment on this item on 837 Burnett Avenue? Seeing none, we'll move this to the August 27, 2014 hearing, and that is to allow time for additional environmental review. And
we have three items under consent calendar. These items are considered routine by the zoning administrator, so there will be no separate discussion of this item unless a member of the public so requests, in which case the matter shall be removed from the consent calendar and considered as a separate item at this time. Item number five, case 2014-0067V, 91 St. Germain Avenue, side yard, variance sought. Item number six, case number 2013-0056V, 837 Geary Street, exposure variance sought. And item number seven, case number 2013-1612V, 1029 Page Street, usable open space variance sought.
Is there any public comment on any of these three items? Again, that's 91 Saint Germain Avenue, 837 Geary Street, and 1029 Page Street. If there is no public comment on any of these three items, they would be granted. So seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variances for these three under consent, and we can move to the regular calendar.
Moving to our regular calendar, item number eight, case number 2013-1781V, 2374 Greenwich Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi. My name is Kevin Dill. I'm an architect, and I'm representing the owner who purchased this property less than a year ago and was unaware that there was a fence that exceeded the height limit allowed by the code. So it was built without a permit. So we're here today to correct that. It is indeed a necessary fence. The site is unique in that the back property line is the two-story wall of a hotel that on the two properties to the east, and on his property it's a one-story wall with a unsightly roof and mechanical duct that sticks up. So that's why the previous owner built this fence. It is certainly less than the build than the height of the properties or the walls to the east. It is an attractive fence. It also provides some sound attenuation. And the only thing we would like to do is actually extend it to the full width of the property. Currently, all it does is cover what was the, or what is the back of the hotel for partial width of the property. The planning code allows a 10-foot fence. This existing fence is 16. We don't think that that, in this case, amounts to much. It does not obstruct any views or anything like that. It does comply with the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances needed for a variance, because this is not a typical mid-block situation in the city. These properties don't have the mid-block because the Lombard buildings go all the way to the rear of their property. In addition, they have the Lombard noise, which is a major impact for the quiet enjoyment of their rear yard. So with that, I'd like to see if you have any questions, and I don't think we have anybody here in opposition either.
Thank you. No, I'm not aware of any opposition to the project, but we'll call for public comment. But just when I think you've correctly noted that you have a unique circumstance here and that the property behind is a commercial use, the motel. Beyond that, you have State Route 101, or you have going through Lombard Street, so there is an issue there in terms of preserving the privacy for your client and also the noise attenuation issues. There's the mature tree in the rear yard of the adjacent neighbor, and I think staff asked you to look at that.
My client actually went and visited this woman, and she's fine with the fence. She just wanted to make sure that it's the other fence. It's the fence on the side, which would be the west side, that touches the tree or is close to the tree. And so she just wanted to make sure that that tree would be fine with whatever we're doing. And
proposed fence doesn't conflict.
Doesn't touch it at all. Okay. Doesn't affect it in any way.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. Is there any public comment on this item, and on item number 8 for 2374 Greenwich Street? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move to the next item.
Item number 9, case number 2013.0829V, 2476 to 2478 3rd Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the sponsor of this project here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Harvey Hacker. I'm representing the owner on this application. I'm actually not going to take up everybody's time listing the ways in which this meets the required circumstances for a variance. I think it's all been abundantly covered in the application, but I'm here in case there are any questions that need to be answered.
Thank you. So just to confirm, did the adjacent buildings here have full lot coverage? The subject property is a two-unit building, and this would provide usable open space for those units within the subject building?
That's exactly correct.
Okay. And the Section 312 notice will be forthcoming. There's an administrative certificate of appropriateness because this is within the Dog Patch District, and that, I think, was processed earlier this week.
Exactly. I've been speaking to Brittany Bendix, and that's about to be issued.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item then.
Thank you.
Is there any public comment on item number 9 for 2476 to 78 3rd Street? Seeing none, we'd close the public hearing on the item. We're inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 10, case number 2013.1361V, 2570 Jackson Street, front setback and rear yard variances sought. You're the project sponsor. You also get 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Lewis Butler. I'm the architect for the subject property, representing the owners. A little background on this property. This is an Albert Farr house that was built in 1924. Albert Farr was one of the most recognizable San Francisco architects of the early 20th century. Also, it was done in kind of a French, I would call West Coast French style. In a nice coincidence, this building's been occupied by the French consulate since 1965 for almost 50 years. Although that may have been great for international relations, it was not very good for the architecture of the house over time. And we're commencing the full restoration of this house, including the facade, even adding items that we have found in the original drawings to the facade to try to bring it back to its fully original state. As seen from Alta Plaza Park, the other unusual thing about this house is that it is facing a park. So the actual public right-of-way view of this house is much more remarkable than a typical streetscape where you have houses on both sides. The variance is a two-part variance. The first part is regarding Section 132 of the Planning Code. That's the front setback section. We are replacing an existing steel frame and glass screen that shields the front terrace with a vertically cantilevered glass screen. This actually dematerializes the look of this glass screen since it's not an original item to the house. And our aim is to have that contrast very respectfully with this restoration that we're doing so that the new and the old are very well defined. You see this in this area right here, that where we've marked that in blue. And there's obviously additional material in our package. The second part of this variance is regarding the rear yard setback, Section 134. Albert Farr actually proposed a spiral staircase at the rear of this building to provide access from the main floor of the building to the garden. There is no access from the main floor of this house to the garden right now. Of the seven subject properties, not subject properties, but similar properties on this block, all of which are very different in size and different architecturally, four of those exist partially in the rear setback. All of those have ways of the main floor accessing or at least being able to share in the garden space. The one next door actually has garages and gardens in the back. Several to the east have terraces on many levels where you can go outside and see the garden. The house to the west, which is a single house, quite large, has a ballroom that faces the garden with a terrace. We simply want to get a minimal amount of access so that people in the house can go outside the doors, exist on the terrace, and go down a spiral staircase and enjoy the rear yard without taking up very much space in the rear yard. The rear spiral was moved by the RDT from where Albert Farr had it at the northwest corner of the terrace to the northeast corner. They felt that was a better spot for it because it didn't require a firewall. You can see where it is now in the blue on the left side of the screen, and you can see the spiral at the top in the northeast corner. These balconies are 3 feet deep. The railings are glass. The balconies themselves are a transparent steel construction, and we're hoping, again, similar to the front, that they respect the architecture of the house, although this is fully on the rear of the house where we're making additional changes. We've had great neighborhood outreach on this project due to the fact that it's a big event in the neighborhood that the consulate has gone and been replaced by terrific new owners, a youngish couple with two kids. We do not have opposition that I'm aware of.
Thank you. So you noted that there's no access from the main living level to the rear yard, but can you not go through the building down to the lower level and access the rear yard?
You certainly can. And what we're doing as part of our proposals, we're doing a very big family room kitchen across the back with windows, and we want to simply be able to walk through those sliding, actually, doors onto a balcony. So when you do large windows like that with a minimal balcony on the other side, it creates kind of an indoor-outdoor feel. We're not expecting to go out there and barbecue. We just want to have, in that European sense, a way of opening a door, going out onto a balcony and feeling the space of the garden. So,
and your original proposal, as well as the original architect's proposal, was that it be at the northwest corner, but the RDT requested that it be set back all the way almost to the east property line. Is that correct?
That's correct, because we would have needed a fire-rated wall on the west side, and they were not a big fan of building a fire-rated wall of that height on the west side.
I mean, couldn't it have been set back 3 to 5 feet from the side property line and still have not required a firewall? Was there really a necessity to move it all the way across, or were there other alternatives that were looked at?
Well, I think the reason we didn't do that is we're trying to have the spiral stair hug either the west or east side of the garden, so it doesn't float out in the middle. Part of that's selfish because we don't want it in our own view. We'd like it off to the side. And so by putting it we had a little bit more flexibility on the east side in that respect because of the floor plan of the house than we did on the west side.
Okay.
I guess what you say is entirely true. There are several options. Smack in the middle would not be perfect, but certainly on the east or west, not interfering with the house is what we were after.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And again, we are on item number 10 for 2570 Jackson Street. Seeing no public comment, close public hearing, take the matter under advisement. I think I generally don't see any issues with the front setback, but would like to review the rear yard variance a little bit further and I think discuss that with the residential design team as well. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 11, case number 2013.1621V3009 Jackson Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor here?
Yes.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
My name is Faro Esselat. I'm the architect for the project. The owners are here present as well. The project essentially consists of remodeling an existing two-unit building. The remodeling is being done within the confines of the existing envelope of the building, sideways, front, and the back. The variance that we're seeking is to be able to raise each floor by a foot. As of right now, the ceiling heights are 8 feet, and to provide for the structural engineering and HVAC and sprinkler pipes, we need to raise these heights by a foot at each floor. So the variance that's being requested is a vertical increase of 3 foot 1 inches. Other than that, everything remains the same. The front elevation and the back of the building are being redone per the remodeling drawings that you already have. We've made extensive outreach to the neighbors. We've met with the neighbor on the left-hand side of the building and come to an agreement with them in terms of the windows that are existing and are going to be replaced. So they are obscure windows and not see-through, and they've signed an agreement to that effect with the owners. On the right-hand side, in consideration of the height increase with the neighbors on that side, we've eliminated a large light well that's on their side of the building, which has windows looking directly across into their building and into the backyard. We've eliminated that light well altogether, and there are no windows now opening on that side of the building. There is also a bathroom window on the third floor, which is adjacent to this property. And after meeting with them at the first neighborhood meeting, we revised our drawings and created a light well on the third floor to give them the opportunity of using that window. Other than that, they brought some photographs to that meeting that showed that they had a slither of a view above the existing parapet of the building. We contacted them, we emailed them and made phone calls to set up a meeting with them so as to go in and see what that was. And that did not happen. They did not respond to our requests. So as of right now, as I said, the variance is essentially to raise the building height by 3 foot. And in the package that you have, we've done extensive light and shadow studies throughout the year to show that the impact on the adjacent property on the right-hand side, which is 3011, is minimal with this increase of 3 feet. And I think that fairly describes what the project is, unless you have questions.
Just to clarify, so the increase of the height is relatively minimal at 3 feet. You stated that the current floor-to-ceiling is 8 feet. Additional height is needed in order for building systems, the HVAC and the sprinklers.
Correct.
Is there any additional floor-to-ceiling height for the individual units, or is
no.
the additional space is all going to the building systems?
Yes.
Okay. And you mentioned that you've been working with both neighbors to the left and to the right. When were those discussions? Because I think we did receive a call from a neighbor with concerns, and they indicated they may file a DR, but I was wondering if that was before or after your discussions.
No, we've not been contacted since our first meeting with the neighbors on the right-hand side. That's 3011. We have been in contact with the neighbor on the left side, which is 2007. But they did not respond to our email or phone calls.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment here. Okay. Any public comment on this item? We're on item number 11 for 3009 Jackson Street. If you please step forward.
You will have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. I do have.
Please put the mic closer to
me. Oh,
thank
sorry.
You. Can I get this too?
Good morning. My name is Barbara Hill, and I'm here on behalf of myself and my husband, Ted Sykes, along with the two other owners of 3011 Jackson Street, the building that's directly adjacent to the west side of 3009. I'm here to voice my objections to the variance request. While we can appreciate the applicant's proposed design and material preferences, which include building the additional space beneath each unit's floor to accommodate heating and other elements, it does result in an overall 3-foot building height increase, and we don't believe that these preferences constitute the exceptional or extraordinary circumstances necessary to fulfill the requirements for an exception. And we do believe that they result in changes that are detrimental to the property in the vicinity, our property. It's challenging to demonstrate exactly how the property's proposed height will increase and affect our building, but I brought along some photos that I've mocked up and given to you to approximate the impact. I've included a page from the applicant's plan to kind of help orientate you to how the two buildings are positioned, particularly for the areas the photos focus on. As you can see, our units were designed to leverage light from the back-facing portion of our building on its east and south sides, so much so that 60% of our units are designed with banks of windows that I've noted in blue facing those directions. And based on the applicant's proposed plan, the height increase will roughly increase that building to meet our building's current height. So in the photos, I've extended a red line from our roof access across the areas to, again, approximate how this change would affect our light. And as you can see, the proposed height increase, particularly combined with the very close proximity of that building to our building in some places, almost to the point where you can reach out your hand and touch the building, would significantly and substantially compromise our access to light in our kitchens, dining rooms, and master bedrooms. My husband and I have lived in this home for 22 years, and while we're not certain what the current 3009 Jackson Street owner's intentions are, we know that they don't currently live in the building, and we assume that the remodeled units will be either rented out or that the building will be sold. And regardless of whether that can be factored into your decision, I wanted to share it with you because I think it speaks to the strength of our intent, of our objections, and why we're here today and why we intend to move forward with a discretionary review request as well as anything else we can do in good faith to prevent this variance being granted.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. So I noted in the renderings that kind of you prepared, you know, showing the proposed height increase, that was based on your estimation of the impacts. But have you, what kind of discussions have you had with the sponsor about what the actual impacts would be?
Right. Well, we had a pre-application meeting where we met with them. We did talk about our concerns. I brought some quick photos just to show, and they seemed fairly unmovable about the height increase. We did appreciate their accommodation of our third floor bathroom window, but there didn't seem to be any wiggle room, any room for flexibility. We discussed the process, what would happen, how we would really can't do anything till receive a permit notification, and then we could go through the process of discretionary review. When they reached out to us to want to come into our units and look from our units, we have no experience in this, and we were a bit uncomfortable about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other public comment on this item? And we're on 3009 Jackson Street.
Yes.
3 minutes, ma'am.
Sure. Good morning. My name is Carmela Krantz. I'm the owner of 3011 Jackson, number 2, one floor down from Barbara. I'm here today to go on record in my opposition to approving the variance request that's been submitted. Specifically, I'm here to oppose both the height increase, the deck modifications based on being on the second floor, as well as the building facade plan. As you will see from the pictures submitted by my neighbor, we rely on that natural light. My unit specifically has 6 of my 10 windows that are rear-facing and get light that will be, I believe, blocked significantly from the increase of 3 feet. Our building was designed to maximize that rear light, and I think the variance request will negatively impact that for all of us. In addition to the loss of light, I'm concerned about the privacy that may be impacted with the deck modifications that have been proposed. As I understand it, the proposal is to extend the decks further into the rear lot, and those decks already have visibility into my kitchen and my bedroom, and an extension of those decks would further compromise my privacy. Today, the decks have some impact, but little, but the extension of the decks would, I think, again, further compromise my privacy. Finally, I'm voicing my opposition to the proposed design of the front of the building. Our home is in a neighborhood that's rich in San Francisco architectural history, and the neighborhood has largely been maintained for many decades, that rich architectural history. In some cases, properties in our neighborhood are over 100 years old. Actually, that's not that uncommon. The proposal for the plan is that the building at 3009 Jackson would have a very modern-looking facade and street-facing structure, and I believe that facade will be in direct conflict with the rest of our neighborhood, and so I would also go on record as opposing that. I don't believe that the proposed plans merit what the commission I think requires as extraordinary, and I feel like the impact is far greater than what it would take to modify the plans for 3 feet and keep the structure in its same framework.
Thank you. So, just to clarify one point, so this is for a rear yard variance. This is not related to the facade of the building, but
sure.
Appreciate your comments on
Thank
that,
you.
And we'll pass that to
Understand.
Our staff. That's probably better addressed through the discretionary review process.
Sure, and just to be clear, I'm absolutely prepared, as my neighbors are, to go through with the discretionary review process should that need arise.
Okay, and then and also clarify the location. So you're located to the west of the subject property, so
yes.
The subject property is to your east. You also have a south-facing exposure, so most of your sunlight will come, you know, from the south and will still be maintained. I understand the adjacent building does extend very deeply into the rear yard, and
very.
The concerns are about the increase in height,
yes.
And so it'd be the morning light
yep.
in particular.
Okay. Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment?
3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Margaret Hahn, and I'm here today representing myself. And to stand side by side with my fellow homeowners from 3011 Jackson to oppose the variance request for 3009 Jackson. Our building is directly adjacent to that property under discussion, and I think that the 3 feet increase that's being discussed, while seems small, the adjacency of our two buildings, they literally almost touch, makes it much more impactful than the 3 feet just literally implies. Significantly, specifically, I'm here to voice my opposition to the height increase as well as the deck modifications. You've heard from my fellow owners about the loss of light to their individual condos. That will result. I live in the first floor unit and will also be significantly impacted. 7 of my 10 windows face south and east. As both Barbara and Carmela noted, the building was designed to maximize that natural light from the rear of the building. For my unit, this light comes from the open space above 3009, as well as my kitchen windows face where the current building and decks end, so it's also facing east. I get a significant amount of light on the first floor from that east light. The height increase and additional decking will materially impact my excess for my kitchen, my dining room, and my bedroom. These are the areas of my home where I spend the majority of my time. I purchased this condo just 18 months ago and intend to be there for a very long time, and I instantly fell in love with the light that filled these rooms. A large part of the reason I bought this particular unit was that I work from home daily, and I depend on this natural light throughout the course of each and every day. We all know that natural light strongly influences one's personal health and well-being, and taking that away simply feels unfair. The photos presented by Barbara are an accurate depiction of the impact to their specific unit, but I'm sure you can imagine what would happen two floors down. In addition to the loss of light, I'm concerned about the loss of privacy from the proposed deck modifications. Today, the decks do not impact my privacy, but I think the new design potentially could. I'm struggling to see why the light height increase and the deck extensions are being proposed at all. The explanation of why this 3-foot increase is needed for the extraordinary impact it has in our building is not clear. I suspicion that it is to accommodate, as stated earlier, a ventilation system or interior design that they do not want to impact their interior space. Whatever the design reason may be, I'm certain the architects and their design consultants can figure out a solution to address these construction needs of their client without materially changing the daily lives of their neighbors. Our building is bonded together to protect the property. We are prepared to request discretionary review, and I respectfully request your opposition to the variance.
Thank you.
You're
so, was the photo simulation, was that given to the project sponsor at all? Or if you have a copy, if you could give a copy to them, would be fantastic. So, oh, if you could step to the mic, would be great. Thank you.
I also wanted to clarify that that first page that's taken from the plans where I've noted the windows, that's the same situation for all three floors. For those windows, the back of the only floor okay. plans that are different on the first and second floors pertain to the very front of the building.
Okay,
so that pertains.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item on 3009 Jackson Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you. A couple of assumptions which I'd like to correct. Can you hear me?
Yeah, just maybe
I'm sorry.
Get close. The
owners of this building have actually been the owners of the building for 25 years. They are the in-laws of my present client, and they've lived there for that long. And the intent is to remodel the building and upgrade it so that the owners that are there and my client can move in. So it is for personal use. It's not for resale, which was the assumption that was made. As regards the extension to the decks, which has been brought up, I believe the decks are being extended by 1 inch. They are 6 foot at present. The dimension on the computer drawings reads 6'1", which is just the way the computer has rounded it up. Essentially, they're the same decks that are there at present. As regards privacy, what we offered the neighbors on the right-hand side is to remove 3 large windows which are in a light well right now, which look directly into their windows on the east-facing side of their building. So it will improve their privacy by a much greater degree than they're concerned as far as the 1-inch extension of the decks are concerned. So in all, we've tried to improve the condition that's there on the right-hand side as we did with the left-hand side. I think the points that are brought up in terms of light and shade, if you look at the sunlight diagrams that we've provided, and we've provided from 9 in the morning to late in the afternoon at 4 different seasons in the year, shows that there is very little impact on the sunlight as far as those windows are concerned. So all in all, I think we've done our duty in terms of trying to respect the neighbors' privacy, their light and shade, and altogether improve the building as it is.
Thank you. Have you done any mock-ups at all of the proposal to show the neighbors what the impacts would be? Because based upon the photos that they submitted and their estimation, I think that they might be overestimating the impact. It looks like it's more, they're showing something more like a 5 or 6 foot height increase, but you know, it really would be very helpful to have probably a mock-up of that. Has that been offered or discussed?
No, we did not, because as I said earlier, you know, we asked to gain access to the unit to see where the impact is, and we were denied that. So we had no chance of seeing actually what the impact is other than the photographs that they showed us at the initial meeting, which is some months ago.
Okay. And does the building have, I mean, it has a flat roof, but is there a parapet or is there...
No, there is no parapet.
So there's nothing you can remove to to kind of mitigate the height change.
Correct. Yeah.
And so you said it's to accommodate HVAC and sprinklers. Are the sprinklers required as an upgrade by the building code?
Yes.
And what was the trigger for this under the building code, the other alterations?
It was means of access and escape routes.
Okay.
From the back of the building to the street.
And the HVAC is a voluntary upgrade, and that's you're adding forced air to the property?
Correct. And also the structure, as of right now, is a 2x12 framing member, which will not be sufficient to span the 25-foot width of the building, since the garage occupies the entire floor on the basement. So we will need bigger depths for the beams, and then for the mechanical, the HVAC, the sprinkler heads, and the drain pipes to be able to be carried underneath the steel beams. So we need probably at least about 6 inches underneath the steel beams, and they will probably be around 18, 15 inches deep. So that's what triggers the depth in order to be able to accommodate the mechanical.
And so when you say you're doing HVAC, are you doing the AC and HVAC as well? Is there air conditioning, or is it just the heating system?
There will be AC as well.
And have you looked at just doing maybe some radiant heating? I mean, if that would kind of reduce what you need to do in terms of increasing the height of the building.
Well, it's not only that.
It's
a combination of the structure, the sprinklers, and the HVAC that gives us that extra space. And the point that I'd like to make is that having done all the studies, you will see from our diagrams that the impact is absolutely minimal as far as light and shade is concerned. As far as privacy is concerned, we're improving the conditions which are there. And the deck extension, as I say, is a computer glitch off, which of 1 inch is not that we're extending the deck.
Okay. Thank you. So with that, I think it's best to close the public hearing. I think at this point in time, they'll take the matter under advisement. I think it'd be best for the parties to meet and discuss, and not requiring that the project sponsor go over to the adjacent property's house, but I think just at least having discussions and I think mocking up showing what the actual height increase would be, because I do think the estimations and the photo sims may be overstating the increase and probably clarifying the impact of what may be from the deck. So I think at this point, if additional conversations can happen, it would be helpful. I do see justification for a variance of some sort here in terms of there are, I think, important changes that need to be made to the building to improve the quality of the building. But whether it's to the extent of 3 feet is something that needs further discussion. I think having the neighbors meet, having explained what the project sponsor would be helpful. If there is no resolution and a DR is filed, we can continue this discussion further at that joint hearing. But I think that maybe just more discussion would be helpful for everyone to better understand the impacts of the project, and hopefully that will resolve concerns from the neighbors. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Item number 13, case number 2013.0423V, 520 El Camino del Mar, rear yard...
12.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Number 12. Item number 12, 2014.04444V, 12 Sanchez Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the project sponsor. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see.
Good morning. I'm Jack Burden. I'm the architect for the project at 12 Sanchez Street. Put this here. Is that going to be... Okay, we're here today regarding a variance requirement for two firewalls on an approved stair location by a previous variance. They're required by the fire department, by the building department. The walls in question are here on the south side and on the north side. And as addition to the roof deck, the fire department didn't allow us to have alternate methods of getting off the roof other than the stair. We looked at hatch, fire escape, and reducing the square footage. None of those were acceptable, so therefore we have the penthouse. Both of these items have 311 notification. The penthouse also triggers a separate notification. Briefly, what we have going on here, we're in the rear setback. And this is a short lot. This is only 80-foot depth lot. opposed to 120 feet or 100-foot lots. So we don't have a lot of room to replace the rotted stair, which is also under the previous variance 1494V, which was held last year in this room with Mr. Sanchez. At that time, through 311 notification, a neighborhood meeting was held and also this hearing. There were no formal complaints. No invitees attended the meeting last year, and we had the variance here, and it was approved, filed and approved on June 13th of last year. This particular one has been activated because of the discretionary review of the fire department requiring firewalls in the north and south. Upon review from Mr. Sanchez, he felt this was a great enough change to the existing variance that we're going to have to do a second variance for these two walls. We have held a neighborhood meeting on the 10th. Again, no invitees attended. Again, 311 notifications were sent out. There has been informal meetings with the neighbors on the north at 12 Sanchez, from 6 to 10 Sanchez, and the owners agreed to put a 24-inch lattice on top of the property line fence, which is a 6-foot fence. Planning code allows us to do this for 2 feet. So we've done that. I can see if I can show an image of that real quick. And what we're referring to here. So if that can get that in there. So there's a 6-foot fence, and they asked for a lattice work on top of that just for a little bit better privacy because there would be a deck on the other side of this wall. So they asked for a little more privacy, and that was fine. Talk to the owners to the south. Also, the south facade itself is quite a hodgepodge of things currently. It's the deteriorated stair. It's a sheet metal for a portion of it. And then there's also some lap siding. So what the owners graciously offered is to actually just make it kind of unify with all one type of material. So just do the traditional San Francisco lap siding to kind of unify all those things together and also repair the bottom flashing on that wall and to relocate a vent that's on the property line, which shouldn't really be there anyway. So, and that's kind of showing, trying to, it'll just kind of unify the whole thing. And this is also part, this is the penthouse, but just kind of take it all the way back. It won't be visible to any of the properties, but just kind of make it all homogenous. We also reached out to the owner out to the west at 517 DeBose, Mr. Castleman, John Castleman. Spoke to him briefly on the 16th of this month, and then again
30 seconds.
On Saturday, Easter Saturday, we did talk about his concerns blocking the windows in his property. I pointed out there is a variance for the location and offered, could we do anything to the treatment of the wall? He wasn't interested in that. So we've tried to reach out to him. I would like to say it's still under discussion, but again, we have the variance for this location, and it's the addition of the walls that we're talking about today.
Okay? Thank you. So the firewalls are being added at the north and at the south.
Yeah.
There's no changes to the west.
No.
At the height or location of any firewalls at the rear property line.
No. I mean, there is, because of the addition of the walls to the north, we have the thickness of that wall.
Okay.
That's the addition along there.
All right.
Okay. And we did look at kind of reducing that as much as possible, made the stores a little more compact. Change the framing on the north to try to bring it in. So okay. It would have been an addition of up to 14 inches, and we'd really cut it all the way back as much as we could.
Okay.
I have one more graph. I know we're over my time, but I could show a graphic. So
that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see here.
And this property wasn't impacted at all in the fire that happened yesterday, because that was on this.
No. I don't know. The owner would have to speak to that. I don't know. I drove by the site, though.
Okay.
Yeah. But there was, yes, right around the corner is a 3-alarm fire yesterday. So let's see if I have an image of where we are. Just 1 second. Sorry, I'm just trying to pull it up here. It did go out on our 311 notice. Here it is. So this is based on the existing condition. Wasn't aware of everything with the project going on. Prior, we were, you know, at the early edge of this post, which is not straight, which is part of the reason I believe the neighbor who's improving his property and everyone's happy about. It was on this side of the post. It's pushed to the north, and we're really trying to stay within that so we don't block that existing window. Mr. Castleman said, well, you know, I have a new design. I'm putting other windows back here. And that's why I you know, offered, you know, what can we do to try to make that treatment better.
So those two bays that we're seeing there, just to the right of the blue fence, those are already covered by a firewall under the project that was approved last summer.
Correct. Okay. They are.
And then the only difference that we have now is something coming perpendicular to
that.
Okay.
Yeah, that has to meet that wall.
Thank you.
All right.
Is there any public comment on this item on 12 Sanchez Street?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Is there a way to make this larger?
Sure.
There should be a zoom on there.
First, I want to mention that my tenants in the building, I'm John Castleman, I'm the owner, my partner and I, Dan Evans, at 517, 515, and 519 Dubose. We were never notified of the prior variance request for this property. We were never even contacted by the owners to discuss this property prior or the what was going to be taking place. In addition, I have discussed with Mr. Verdon about the property, but he wasn't willing to negotiate the impact it was going to have on our property. But my statement is this. My partner and I own 517, 515, 517, 519 Dubose, a multi-unit building. We're happy to see the owners of 12 Sanchez fixing up their property. We're in the middle of building a new unit, 515 Dubose. This new unit is designed and intended for my elderly parents a place to live. Until we receive the notice about this hearing, us or our tenants at 519, 517 have not been notified about this project. Other neighbors I have spoken to also have not heard and just until just weeks ago about this hearing today. The proposed plans for 12 Sanchez will negatively impact the use of 515 Dubose. The proposed structure will block a major window and much-needed sunlight. We are going to the trouble of removing columns on our property line to afford more light to the new unit and that such efforts will negate by their increased footprint. The existing structure is a non-conforming structure within the required setback. It's my understanding that structures in this situation are allowed to be repaired. By rebuilding them to a larger size is a detriment to the open space, encroaches on the light and the air of our property, and increases the fire risk for the neighborhood along with our building. If the stairs are being increased in size to meet code, then why are they not meet the code requirements for setbacks and rear yard and open space? If the stairs are to be removed, they could be turned and wrapped along the back of the building, thereby better conforming to the planning department's rear yard open space requirements. They are only be rebuilding them in the kind increase their footprint is a violation of planning codes, and overdevelopment of their property is a detriment to our property. I feel it's prudent to also request a shadow study be conducted to see the impact that this project is going to have. And I'm also ready to would go towards a discretionary review as well if this doesn't pass today, or if this does pass today. But I want to point out, this is our property here, what we're currently putting in. This will be completed or should be completed within the next 6 weeks. So you can see the windows there on the side there that are being put, that are going to be installed for light. There's only two walls. There's only two walls that can have light on this unit because of the way the structure is built. So with that being said, this shows these posts right here and all that area is being removed so windows can be put in. And their structure is going to
be. So that was actually time, but if you could just continue and show me the location of the proposed windows. And you said this was to add, you're adding a dwelling unit?
I am. Okay. It's actually going to have its own address and utilities and everything.
Okay.
It's a 600 square foot unit. Here's the proposed windows. So all of those posts that the architect has showed before are going to be removed. We're having beams put in so all that can be removed. We're also lowering the wall, so there's going to be a lower height there to take the pressure off of that bond wall below.
Could you show me the location of the existing window? Just like of
the existing window is just a piece of glass that was installed there, and that was just kind of there for over the last, I don't know, 50, 60 years for light to let into the garage. It wasn't significant to anything.
Okay, but could you show me the location on the plans that you have there of which one of those windows represents kind of the window that's already there?
Currently, the windows on the plans that I'm showing you right now, there's no, it doesn't, this plan doesn't.
They're all different?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. These windows are what is going to be put installed in the property.
Right, and so, but there is an existing window, and could you show me which of those windows that's on the plans on that elevation is the existing window?
It would be, the best way to answer your question would be roughly right here.
Okay, so the location, that window will be removed and replaced, but the, okay.
Yeah, so that's going to be replaced. The old window is going to be replaced with a much larger window.
Okay. And you stated that you did not receive any notice from the public hearing we had.
No, I did not.
Last year. Okay.
My partner and I did not, and neither did the tenants in the building, and there's six tenants in the building.
And you were the owner of the property last summer. How long have you owned the property for?
For about 18 years.
Okay. Then okay. Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item on 12 Sanchez Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Well, we went through the process of using Radius Services to get all the addresses for 311 notification. Therefore, all registered owners are on that list. There was, I think, 178 people on that list. So it'd be surprising if Mr. Kalsman was not, or his associate not contacted regarding this project. The owner, I'd rather just keep our discussions on those variants today and not rehash the history here. But outreach was made for the prior one by the owner that's here today, plus another owner who did receive some comments that there was concerns, but there was greater concerns about actually egress out of the building. From planning, from building code standpoint, they have a change of use. They went from an R3 to an R2, so they have greater. I don't really want to get into that property. That's not why I'm here today. But they have greater egress issues that I hope they can resolve without a firewall.
That's on the adjacent property.
That's on the adjacent property. Using that corridor as a rated corridor, as they're doing it, it's open on one side it's highly.
Sorry to interrupt. Did your client receive notice of the addition of the dwelling unit at that location?
I believe they did.
Okay.
They did. And, you know, there was a reach out to see if there was some kind of working together, but it didn't seem to go very far at that time. As far as the air and light, I can understand that, but the unit that Mr. Castleman is putting in, and we're all happy that there is more units going in the city. It's a hard time right now with the shortage we have. But that unit's about 500 square feet, 509 square feet, which means he would need about 42 square feet of light to meet the air and light requirement to lease that space. He accomplishes that on the south of his property. Again, I really don't want to get into the design of that project. That's not why I'm here today. But I'm just pointing out that he is meeting the air and light requirement for his property. And we're building within an area on a lot that's less than standard, so we're really hemmed in. To put it against the building would actually impact a number of things. Fire egress from the own property going by the windows becomes unsafe. It would be a privacy within its own property, creates a privacy issue between the units, and would actually would eliminate the use of the courtyard for any kind of enjoyment at all.
Okay. Thank you. And so this was, we had a hearing on this last summer.
Yeah.
Then the building permit, did we ever do a Section 311 on that last time around? So it's been through the variance hearing notice and the 311 already?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then this is
up there. It's really the addition of the firewalls and then the fire department's requirement for the penthouse.
Okay.
They're two different items.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks. So with that, I think close the public hearing on this item. I think I'm generally fairly supportive of the proposal, but would like to consider it further and take a look back at our notification, ensure our notification was done properly for the last hearing. So with that, public hearing is closed, taking the matter under advisement, and we can move on to the next item.
Item number 13, case number 2013-0423V, 520 El Camino del Mar, rear yard and side yard variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. How are you? I'm Reed Morrison, the architect representing the owner for 520 El Camino del Mar. Basically, the intent of our project is to utilize the master plan for Seacliff as it is, which in great foresight provided alleyways for access for garages for the houses that front on El Camino del Mar. And at the present time, our property is at this location. At the present time, this property has garage access by entering directly through off of a curb cut at El Camino del Mar, and then along the side of the house to the back of the house, where there's a parking lot that's paved, and then a garage that's tucked under the house in the basement. And so our intent is to utilize the alleyway that's already there and build an underground garage below the house, so that we will no longer need to drive along the side of the house, and we can convert the what's now the parking area into a garden. So there is great benefit to be able to utilize. I think that's what the neighborhood, how it was intended to be utilized in the beginning. So we're trying to enhance and take advantage of the current situation and become a benefit to the neighborhood. And our intent is to have minimal impact to any of the neighbors, and also, but actually enhance the neighborhood as much as we can. So in order to utilize the garage access, the alleyway is only 18 feet wide at that particular spot. So our intent is to make the garage as functional as we possibly can, given the tight dimensional restrictions. So we are proposing a three-car garage, and we also are trying to make it so that we can navigate in the alleyway as safely and as reasonably as possible and utilize the garage. So that, in combination with the creation of the garden, I think we will have a great benefit to the neighborhood. The existing conditions are exceptional because the alleyway is there and it has not been utilized, and it's in order to not utilize it, I think would be a hardship to the owners, because it is something that's accessible to all the neighbors. They all have that ability to use the garage, and the owners of 520 should also be allotted that possibility. Also, the alleyway does have a sort of a street wall that's maintained because of the section of the property, and all the other garages do front. They're a combination of garages and retaining walls for those who do not have garages, but there's a definite street wall along the alleyway. So we're maintaining that line to be consistent with what's on the neighbors. So basically, the whole intent is to create a functional garage which is compatible with the intent of the master plan for the neighborhood, and do it in such a way that enhances our property as well as gives the neighbors a garden to look down on as well.
Thank you. So the subject property is quite large, I think about 50 by about 140 to 143 feet. There's already parking, as you noted, that's provided within the building that's accessed from the El Camino del Mar frontage. And so your argument for the hardship is that you would be able to then close off the front of that street opening, the driveway off of El Camino del Mar, and access it via the alley, which is similar in style to other properties. Is the garage also similar in size? Because it seems that the proposal is quite a bit larger than other garages, which are on that
there outlet. Are combinations of different size garages. Some are more traditional two-car garages. There are several where they're paired doors. The alleyway does vary in width in different locations, and I'm not sure how all the other garages function. But our intent is to create a garage that is easily accessed, and I think that has to do partly with taking advantage of the width that we can in order to make it more easily accessible.
And I mean, the project will result in something that's, you know, almost really full lot coverage for something that's a 50 by 140 foot lot. And, you know, looking at, you know, certainly the other elements that are being added, you know, there's substantial storage, media room, wine cellar, you know, the current garage is being converted into a stube, which is that a stube?
Sounds fun. The owner is Italian German, and it's a traditional family element.
Okay. I mean, you know, certainly nice elements, but in terms of justifying the hardship for the variance, and I don't see all of the five findings being met. I mean, I do see that, you know, closing off the driveway from El Camino de Mar does have its benefits, and you know, providing parking in the rear that may be similar to that of other properties would be appropriate, but have you looked at other alternatives that are not quite as generous as the current proposal?
Besides, I mean, as far as relocating the parking to the alleyway?
Or just reducing the size of the garage, you know, the overall encroachment into the rear yard, something that may be more similar in character with...
Well, I think the only way to reduce the encroachment of the rear yard is to vary from the existing street wall. And I think it makes, you know, it is an alleyway, but I think we would become an aberration, and I'm not sure if it really, it doesn't get anybody anything, and it also would reduce the size of our garden, because we're utilizing
the roof.
The garage is underground, and we're utilizing the roof, so it would create more visibility of the alleyway from the house and take away one of the biggest benefits.
Okay. Well, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item, item number 13 for 520 El Camino del Mar?
Yes. You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Michelle Trefelli, and this is my husband, Brad Smith. We're new owners on the same block as the property under discussion. We are currently renovating a house at 440 El Camino. And my concern about the proposed project at 520 primarily has to do with the rear yard and extending 22 of the 36 required feet into the yard. And while I appreciate some of what the sponsor presented, there are major differences between other houses on the block that he refers to and this project. This project, the house currently that exists is all the way at the front of the property, and the proposed building project essentially builds the entire lot. And I think that really sets a very dangerous precedent for open space, and it just quite frankly seems excessive. I'm hard-pressed to see that extraordinary circumstances exist in this situation. Seacliff's very varied in architecture, but one of the defining qualities of the neighborhood has to do with the open space and the individual lots having open space. And while there's the wall on the back at the shared drive, most of the houses that come back there to the wall have significant front yards. This property, this lot, does not have that. Lifting the house and adding two lower floors, it just all seems very excessive, and overbuilding the lot from end to end really sets a precedent that concerns me a great deal. I think it's really important to protect these kinds of setback rules, and I know that they can vary, and some of these lots are odd sizes and slices, but it doesn't seem to me that extraordinary circumstances exist here to allow 22 feet to be built into a 36-foot required yard. I don't see it as a benefit to the neighborhood to reduce space that is not built upon. I have no problem with access to their garage from the back. That does seem fair to me, but it seems that there are other ways to accomplish that while not building over the whole lot.
Would you see like a separate detached garage at the rear that would be smaller, or is that something that would be more in line with you see the way you see?
Possibly, but they're also extending the house. So I mean there needs to be some kind of open space, and I don't think that the space on top of the garage really qualifies as yard or a benefit that's of great aesthetic value to the neighborhood. And I'm definitely concerned with protecting that quality in the neighborhood.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Okay, I'm here on behalf of Maria Canizales, who owns 530 El Camino del Mar to the west of the project. And to echo the sentiment of our other neighbor, yes, it does seem as though it was rather generous, the space they're trying to capture, and excessive. In addition to the 22 feet that they're trying to gain with the garage, there's an additional 3 feet of structure that they're willing, that they're trying to extend out into the yard. Thus, we end up with 11 feet left of space in their backyard. And they have not put up a mock of any kind for us to get a feel for how much space the structures will be taking up. And that is really our biggest concern, in addition to when the structure goes out 3 feet, there'll be additional windows that will look upon 530 El Camino del Mar, which is our property, and that will be taking away privacy as well.
Okay. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item on 520 El Camino del Mar?
3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. I'm Terrence Marseille. I live at 275 Seacliff, which about 20 feet of my backyard faces their backyard. So I'm on the north side of the alley. And my main concern, my main concern, believe it or not, is the noise of the 30-foot roll-up metal door. Normally, when they put them in new, they're pretty good, but if you don't maintain them, they can be very noisy. My bedrooms are on the back of my house, very close to it. My house actually sits quite a ways back in the backyard, so we only have 26 feet of space to the alley itself. And I don't know if this is a place to bring up a concern about something that could happen down the road in the maintenance of this type of thing. It is a I feel the overall project is not that bad. I mean, they do come back in with a backyard just as the way it is right now, so I don't see anything really lost except they're going to add a little bit more to the building. And in Seacliff, I hate to say it, but it goes on all the time. And we have a number of buildings in the past 20 years where these garages have been built, three-car garages, McLaren, they just did fit in about 2 years ago. There's another whole set. If you go back through your records, there's been a lot of this. So I really don't think it's a detriment in that respect. But the overall project to me looks really good. So my concern is just that door is going to go up and down a lot.
So, is there any issue? You don't have any issue with the potential noise from automobiles? It's more of the noise from if the garage door is not properly maintained?
That's correct.
Okay.
We do have people using the further, right directly behind me, another cars that come into there routinely, but that noise factor is not bad. Plus, I've got double pane windows now, so.
That helps.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Any other public comment? You have public comment?
No, I'm probably the project
sponsor. Oh, okay. So we go to the rebuttal for the project sponsor now.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Zoning Administrator Sanchez. I'm Jim Rubin. I've been working with the project sponsor for probably around a year, and I'll take the rebuttal. I'm speaking as their attorney and also as a resident within a couple of blocks of Seacliff. I live in Seacliff at 2930 Lake Street. We also have, at my house, a mews in the back, 10 houses surrounding a single driveway, and everybody pulls in at the back. It is the way Seacliff is designed. First thing I'd like to say is I think that there's a bit of a misconception about this 22-foot extension and what it really is. I'm speaking to the people at 430 El Camino. It is completely below grade. There's nothing that anybody is going to see. And in fact, by putting it below grade, it allows for the garden to go now on top of a garage, which has been a parking area. So it is a distinct improvement. And it's an improvement for Maria Casales as well, who lives next door to the west, because her windows look down on that paved area right now, and she will look down on a garden. It strikes me from an urban point of view, two things. First of all, there are people that are able to live in large houses and have views, and Seacliff is the place to do that. And there are a lot of houses with views, and there are a lot of houses that are large. If someone has the wherewithal to go below grade, to add volume and not impact anybody, we ought to be encouraging that, not discouraging. And that's exactly what this project seeks to do. So I'm sure that we can solve the garage noise issue to the satisfaction of the neighbor to the north. What I'd propose, if there is a willingness on the zoning administrator's part to maybe put this off until the next hearing and give us a chance to talk to Ms. Casales and maybe the people that spoke. We had not heard from them. They live about as far away as I do from this project, and so had no idea that they were going to come here and complain about the 22 feet that is not visible from anybody. It's going to cost a lot of money to produce, and it's going to, you know, add something of value to the neighborhood, because by taking that driveway off of Seacliff, we add a parking space for them when they have their next fundraiser.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, close public comment. I appreciate the project sponsor's, you know, willingness to continue this item 1 month and to do some additional community outreach. I think that would be very helpful. As such, let's continue this item to the May 28th hearing. The public hearing will remain open. Any additional materials that are prepared and discussions with the neighbors, please provide those as copies to our department as well. But I do agree that the impacts could be minimal. On plan, it looks quite large, but given the topography of the lot and the downsloping nature of the lot, that could reduce the impacts. But I think if that's better clarified, and, you know, whether story poles may not be necessary here, but maybe additional renderings, that would help the neighbors understand. I still have some concerns about the overall size of the project, but I, you know, don't see an issue with closing off the frontage off of El Camino Del Mar and having some kind of access at the rear. I think that's not an issue, but maybe the size, and we have better understanding for everyone here of what the impacts will be. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 14, case number 2014-0157V, 874 Fell Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Thanks. Hi, Mr. Sanchez. I'm Janet Campbell, the project sponsor. Hi. I want to show you first pictures of this original building. This building was built with a carriage house in the rear in the very early 1900s. And since then, sometime several decades ago, somebody got a permit and did this to the front. And they enclosed the driveway and put units above it. And I will take you through that to the carriage house. As you can see, going from the front to the rear, you see the garage that was added to the carriage house in the 1940s, and as we which sits in the rear yard. And as we come around the corner, or at the back, and this is something we're correcting in this project. You can see that someone in the late 1990s blocked off the access to the garage. We're correcting that in this project. And here's the carriage house in the rear yard. It's in a dilapidated shape. It was living quarters, and there's the garage to the right, and you can see it here. It's been cleaned up. There's now landscaping in here. There are 9 units in the front building that are all legal, and you can see here at the top rear where this carriage house is. This is all within the rear yard setback, and it is definitely in great need of cleanup. It's also going to serve as the home for the owner and their six-month and his wife and their six-month old child. So we were going to put a bedroom downstairs, have the garage as is, and have living quarters upstairs. We had meetings with the neighbors. And as you can see from the right side elevation, this is how it looks up against the neighbor to the north, Mr. Kushner. And he has a window, actually, in this area that we were going to create a light well for in our original scheme, which gave us more living space. Without raising the roof in some area, we only get a long, narrow kitchen with barely a table. There's no living area, basically, in the building. So he wanted to keep the slope as it was, so we said yes. We came back with a scheme that you see today where at the very front where the dash line is, this goes up against his deck, which sits about 2 feet. The rail should be 2 feet above that. And then we have a short portion that's raised up, and then the rest of it goes back down to the steeper pitch in front of his window. So we've created a little more living space. And so that's what you see today, and I'm going to show you in story poles from 2 different angles the way it looks. We've got the first photograph I'm going to show you is from this window, the top of our building, and this is from a neighbor over here. Okay. Well, actually, I'll show you hers first. This is from her window, and you can see what is covered up is actually building. There's a roof here, and there are buildings that are covered up, and you still have the view. And there'll be a new deck, added open space in this rear yard on top of the garage. And then here's the last view from our building on the top corner window. And these are the story poles that indicate where the addition would go. And that's in order to make enough living space. You'll see that in the plans. And so this is what we're asking for in our variance, is to be able to have a habitable space with 1 bedroom and a tiny living area with a small kitchen and small half bath upstairs. And this is original to the building. So that's what our proposal is. And we've worked with the neighbors on all sides around here, on all 3 sides, to achieve this design. That's what it reflects.
Thank you. And so the plans currently on file do reflect that lower roof line
on the back.
At the back of the property.
Yes.
The neighbor's deck.
There's just 1 little section, a few feet, that's popped up, and then it comes back down against Mr. Kushner's deck.
Right.
Yes.
And I like how you did the photos, too. That's helpful to have the context of where the photos are from.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was important.
And I think, generally, I think this is a positive improvement to the property and well-justified, given that it's an existing legal non-complying structure. However, we did recently have complaints on the property that they were illegally using as short-term rentals.
And they're not.
And so was the – because I know staff went out there this week and – yeah. I got at least an email from them. They the complaint was to be abated, but was it just a complaint in error in that case?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I've been working over there for, my goodness, over a year now, and I've never seen that. I've talked to some of the long-term tenants, and I've seen tenants in there for longer than 30 days, that's for sure, when I go over there and measure and do different things. So I know that that was an error.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment on this case. Is there any public comment on, we're on item number 14 for 874 Fell Street? Seeing no public comment, closing the public hearing, being inclined to grant the requested variance. Before issuing a decision letter, I will get final confirmation from staff that the complaints have in fact been abated. And we can move on.
Item number 15, case number 2014-0430V-1275 Market Street. Transparency and penetration variance sought.
Thank you.
5 minutes, ma'am.
Karen Cookland with Gensler, representing Dolby today. As you know, Dolby is a San Francisco-based technology company that continues to be a leader in visual and acoustic experience. They are moving their headquarters to mid-market as part of the revitalization of mid-market and will be bringing almost 1,000 employees to this location. And those employees will certainly be seeking services in the neighborhood. As to the variance itself, it is for transparency and fenestration. The existing condition is a state fund insurance, which currently has offices and conference rooms along Market Street. And the proposed design removes all of those conference rooms and replaces it with a coffee bar and a theater pre-function space. In addition to that, there's a demonstration laboratory that we're proposing on the 9th Street facade. So if we look at 9th Street, we are reducing the transparency from 59 to 39% to accommodate that demonstration laboratory. However, if you look at both facades in combination and you tend to look at that corner in combination, we are at 64%. The demonstration lab is an integral part of the program. And it needs to be adjacent to the lobby space. This is where the lab, Dolby will be showcasing their technologies to both visitors and trading partners. So that location of the lab with the Dolby experience, which will be in that lobby, is critical. The nature of this demonstration laboratory is such that it has very specific dimensions, both in terms of its area and its volume, and it's really critical to their future continued research and success. We chose this location because there is currently a seismic brace that comes down outside on the property, and it creates a very awkward little space there that could easily be occupied by homeless or people maybe not up to good deeds. It's very adjacent to a bus stop there, and we're proposing to activate that wall. And there were some ideas included in the packet that we gave you. I also have an image of the Dolby experience, which is currently in design, if that's helpful to you. This lab would be really difficult to relocate for us. There's a 6-inch gas line and a fuel oil line immediately adjacent. Let's see. On the Market Street facade, we are not changing the transparency calculation. It remains at 84%. There's no intensification of a prior non-conforming use. And we're working diligently with Dolby to design this experience so that visitors can come into the lobby and understand more about what Dolby's doing. Additionally, with the new design of the building, you actually will be able to see through the building to a stand of redwoods that exists on the back side of the property. So quite a bit of transparency through the building. And I think the coffee bar will be very active space. They currently have one in their facility, and employees use it on a regular basis. So just in summary, we really believe that the exhibits, the media screens, and the activity within that building will help to activate that street corner. It's a very lively street corner. And we believe that we're trying to meet the intent of the code here. And of course, the project is consistent with the Prop M priorities.
Thank you. So you referenced some of the ground floor changes, including the coffee bar. And will that be open to the public? It's my understanding that it will not be.
The coffee bar is not open to the public. There's a set of turnstiles on maybe halfway through the building, and that would be for employees.
Okay. And so the area that will be publicly accessible
is really that corner of 9th and Market.
So the
yes.
Dolby Experience exhibition area. And
yes.
Will the demonstration lab that is part of the proposal here, will that be accessible to the public?
It would not. Okay. It's part of their demonstration to their trading partners and vendors.
Okay, so I thought yeah. you said that it was when you said it was
well,
to
it's,
visitors.
Well, it's adjacent. The experience itself, the screens, the sound experience, that part is accessible, but it's something that they might bring a trading partner to see that and then take them into a demonstration.
Okay. But the rest of the area, the Dolby Experience, will be publicly accessible during the regular business hours?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And then the artwork, you're still kind of refining proposals, but
yes.
the intention is to have...
To activate that wall so that, you know, it kind of draws you inside to that experience.
Okay. And it won't be anything signage-related, right? It'll be something that's...
No, it would be some kind of art install. Could be lights. We're still working on that. And it won't be a piano.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Any public comment on item number 15 for 1275 Market Street? Seeing none, I think the public hearing it will close. At this point, I'm going to take the matter under advisement. I think there's a few additional issues that we're discussing with the project sponsor in relation to open space issues at the back and confirming whether or not that is a requirement. But at this point, I think generally inclined to grant the variance, but we just wanted to conclude some additional research on the potential other requirements for the use. So with that, we can move on to the next item.
Number 16 and number 18 cases will be moved later on to our calendar. So we are moving fast forward to item number 18, case number 2014-0285V, 214 Chenery Street, rear yard variance sought. You're the sponsor, ma'am. You have 5 minutes.
And the affidavit. Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Suzanne Dana, and I'm the architect, and I represent the owners for 214 Chenery Street. I'm going to start with just a little summary of what this is. It's this. Can you zoom out? No.
Okay.
Just a little bit. So what the variance we're seeking is for a portion of the existing addition that currently encroaches on the rear yard setback, and you can actually see it right here. So this single family home was purchased by the current owners in the year 2000. They recently wanted to add on to the back, and during the pre-design phase, it was discovered that this previous addition, which includes their kitchen, was built without proper permits. We met with the neighbors during the pre-app meeting, and it was confirmed at that time that it was indeed constructed in the late 80s. And I have a letter from one of their neighbors to confirm this. So our proposal is basically to provide the necessary upgrades to bring it up to code, and at the same time we're proposing a new two-story addition that is within the required yard setback. So the addition would... Sideways. So this is the yellow right there is the existing non-complying structure, and the shaded in the back right here is the new proposal. So for this property, there's a couple things that I feel make it an exceptional circumstance. The first one being that the owners were unaware. The other thing is that it has their kitchen, which is an essential use of a home. It also is an irregular shaped lot, and you can see that in this. It has a jog at the back, which is why we actually are infringing on the rear yard setback, because at that northern side, it is very shallow. It's around 70 feet. It's also, if you look at the neighborhood, this block is not rectangular in shape. And I can show you a Google map. So as you can see, it's a triangular block, and that's also reflected in that it's irregular, and most of the setback requirements are based on rectangular-shaped lots in San Francisco. The relocation of the kitchen would create an unnecessary hardship for the current owners. It would be a huge cost, and I feel that granting of this variance is necessary for the current owners to enjoy their kitchen and habitable living space. It doesn't appear to be materially detrimental to the public, and when we met with the immediate neighbors, nobody seemed to have any concerns of the existing structure. They had more questions about the overall process and what we were doing with the new addition, which they realize is within the setbacks, and as far as I know, there haven't been any issues. And then as far as in being in compliance with the intent of the master plan, I have a zoomed-in version. You can see the property is kind of tucked off to the side, so the open space is really in the center, and we're not really infringing on that. So, as you can see, it's pretty open there, and we're tucked over on this side. And we are also, I just wanted to clarify that if you take the average rear setback line of the adjacent neighbors, we're actually well within that for both the new and the existing addition. So thank you for your consideration. And
thank you.
I'm done.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? We're on item number 18 for 214 Chenery Street. Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the odd lot shape and size, the configuration of the block as well. Section 311 notification expired over the weekend. No discretionary views were filed. It's just for a small portion of the project to legalize an existing kitchen. And we can move on to item number 19.
Item number 19, case number 2013.0465V, 2479 Francisco Street, front setback and rear yard variances sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is David Armour. I'm the architect for the project, the Dade Residence. This project is seeking a front setback variance and a rear yard variance. The property is the one here in the center. The area in question is this open space to the right in the picture. To the right over here, you see an adjacent structure that is facing Baker Street. But is sort of built out along the property line, and our proposal seeks to kind of mimic the massing of the front of that property. Also included in our proposal, a third-story addition, and you'll see here a couple of properties that are across the street that were, you know, design precedents for the project. The hardship on the property is that the lot's only about 62 feet long, and our site plan here shows the lot. The adjacent lots are considerably longer. If you know the lot was the same length as his neighbor's, it wouldn't need a variance. The front variance is only this little red square here. The project as originally submitted included a variance at the third floor, which is this area with the cross-hatching. That's since been pulled back. This project was scaled back. And in the rear yard, the cross-hatched area indicates area of originally proposed rear addition that's also been scaled back. So what's left right now is a 4-foot extension on the ground floor, which has interior space, and then effectively just a walkout space and stair to the garden so that there's access from the house to the garden, which is a real essential need for a family home. Because the lot is so short, we're seeking to fill in this front corner, which doesn't make the building any longer. It just merely squares it off and mimics massing adjacent to it. And I don't think I have any further comments. And as you know, the project was subject to a DR. It's been resolved. A lot of these changes are all part of that, and there's no opposition to the project.
Thank you. And the adjacent property on Francisco, it's a much longer lot as well, right? So that
on the corner?
On Francisco.
Oh, on to the right, to the east.
Yeah.
I don't have the dimension with me, but it's well over 100 feet long.
Okay.
And it's an RH2 lot.
Thank you. And the plans that we have on file reflect the changes that were made as part of the discretionary?
They do, and that's what these represent. Oh, and just the last thing is that the area in the rear here is entirely up against a 3-story adjacent wall. So we purposefully put all that mass, the new construction, against something that blocks all the light into the rear yard of the property as it is.
Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 19 for 2479 Francisco Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the lot size as it imposes a hardship on the subject property. Also, its location essentially one in from the corner, which also impacts it in terms of the front setback requirement. With that, we can go back to items number 16 and 17. We do have limited time. We have a hard stop, I think, of noon. And so we're going to hear these items together, and the project sponsor will be given a show of hands of members of the public who want to speak on this item. Okay, thank you. So I think we should be able to accommodate 3 minutes each. So we'll do 5 minutes for the project sponsor, 3 minutes for members of the public, and then a 3-minute rebuttal for the project sponsor afterwards.
So this is a combined hearing for item both 16 and 17, case number 2013.0883V, 1364 Pacific Avenue, rear yard modification and street frontage variances sought. Item number 17, case number 2013.08884V, 1370 Pacific Avenue, rear yard modification and street frontage variances sought. Sponsor of the project, you have 5 minutes.
My name is Eric Tang, and I'll be speaking on behalf of my dad, Harold Tang. My dad's a small business owner who has resided on this property since 1985, first renting, then purchasing the properties in 2002 with every intention to build a home for his growing family. His family has a total of 4 children who are all married or getting married or having kids. His wish is to grow old on the property, watching his grandchildren grow up in a home he helped build. Our proposed project consists of a single-family home on top of a commercial space, which adds residential housing while keeping the commercial component in an urban environment where housing is critically needed. My architect, Riyadh, was highly recommended through a mutual friend. My family decided to hire him to help us design the home because he came recommended as someone who has a history of designing thoughtful and high-quality buildings and was able to help us achieve a design suitable for our family despite the restrictive lot sizes and zoning. The design we arrived at was the result of a lot of effort and consideration for our needs as a family. For providing a building that will be an asset to the neighborhood as and was always at the forefront of our planning. Generations of our family will live here, and we want to build something the whole family can be proud of. We met and discussed our intentions to build with many of our neighbors and have over 400 signatures in support of this project. Our variance request consists of 2 items, one for a rear yard and the other for the parking entry. I'll let Riyadh explain in detail.
Good morning.
Administrator Sanchez. My name is Riyad Ghanem. I'm the architect representing the Tang family for this project for both 1364 and 1370 Pacific Avenue. And as Eric mentioned, we're seeking to request a rear yard variance. The reason we're requesting the variance is that we feel that we have substandard lot conditions and a circumstance that means that there's limited use for this particular lot, for both lots. They're both less than 25 feet. One lot is 17.5 feet wide by 60 feet long. The other lot is 20 feet wide by 60 feet long. They're through lots running from Pacific Avenue, which is about a little less than 6 feet above Lynch Alley. Lynch Alley happens to be an alley as defined by the planning code, and therefore, there are restrictions that apply to this project regarding Section 261.1 of the code, where we're required to provide a sun access plane, which is basically a 45-degree line drawn from our adjacent property across the street on Lynch, and basically means that the building has a stepping to it. So this is the adjacent property where I'm pointing to right now. This would be the property line, and we've created the sun access plane in full compliance with Section 261.1. And what I'm also showing on here are the different setback locations that are normally apply and what we want to vary to. This is the 45% rear yard setback. The next line is the 25% modified setback that's commonly allowed for this zone, and this is NCD Pacific Avenue. And then the last line here is our proposed setback, which basically we've come up with this setback to allow for the building to provide this stepping that occurs per Section 261.1, the sun access plane, and therefore part of our building is set back behind the 45% setback line, whereas part of our building, we're asking that we average our adjacent neighbors, noting that our adjacent neighbors and most of the block is built to the rear lot line on Lynch Alley. So I have another view of Lynch Street. This is one view that shows a rendering of our proposed building. However, it also is intended to show a little bit of context. So where I'm pointing to is our proposed two buildings, 1364 and 1370. And this shows the effect of the sun access plane on how it sets back our building. And you can also see the context where the majority of buildings create a street wall along Lynch that's in 2 to 3 stories tall.
So if you could just wrap that up, please.
Yeah, so I have another view that's a little closer up, so you can see a little bit more detail of our particular building, but again, looking up the hill along Lynch. And I should just mention that I guess part of our variance is also regarding the garage sizes. Because of our limited lot size, we can't park unless the garage is big enough to let the car in, and therefore it's over the requirement.
Thank you. What's the width of Lynch?
Lynch is 17.5 feet wide, okay. I believe.
No, that's not true. It's
10 feet
wide.
10 feet.
It's
3 feet. Oh, so
well, on yeah, so the so surveyed from lot line to lot line is 17.5 feet.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the proposal here is to have essentially below grade parking at the rear.
Exactly.
And then at grade level from the front, you'll have commercial uses on both sides, mm-hmm. and then residential above.
Yes.
Now, have you considered, given the lot constraints, that they're very narrow lots and shallow lots, did you look at merging the lots together and doing it as one development parcel? I mean, because that would seem to, in terms of building systems and things like that, you'd be able to avoid some redundancies. Was that discussed in...
That was discussed on the onset of the project as a strategy. There were certain economic considerations for my client that I think they can speak to a little bit more about merging the lots, but in brief... The issue is that my clients have limited means to build this project, They want to build one to help finance the construction of the other.
So one will be sold off and then to finance the others?
Yes, exactly. And my clients intend to live in the other.
Okay, okay, okay. Thank you. All right. So we can move on to public comment. And again, no, I think we're going to be probably pushing close to our time limit today. So while I do want everyone to, you know, take all the time that they need up to the 3 minutes to present their arguments, it would be helpful to, you know, I say be as concise as possible. And I would note for clarification, I should have done this from the outset here, is that it's the variance is required for the garage door width, and it's a rear yard modification for the rear yard. So it's not subject to the 5 variance findings for the rear yard. That's a different proposal. So again, a rear yard modification with the variance for the garage door width. But we can go on to public comment now. Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez, Jeremy Paul. I would like to put in the opinion that this variance may be a good solution to problems posed by construction on Lynch and Pacific. This is a very large building, and I don't believe that the design has been well vetted by the neighborhood. I don't think that the effects that this building is going to have has been fully understood or discussed. I would encourage you to take the matter under advisement to not act on this variance until this has been properly noticed under Section 311 so that the project can be examined in total by the neighborhood and by the Planning Commission without the presumption that the particular problems are going to be solved in a particular way.
Thank you for the comments. So what do you think are the issues with the overall design of the building, and how are they distinct from the matter that's here today?
Well, I'm not actually certain of that. It's, the issues of the variances may make a lot of sense given the design constraints of that site. But I do think that the consideration of the terraces design and the garage door design and the overall massing and fenestration of the building is pretty extraordinary for the location. It's a great housing site, and something should be done. But I do think that this project should be considered as a totality by the Planning Commission.
So the issue is primarily with the facade design. It sounds like a little bit at the rear as well. You mentioned the fenestration and the height of the building as well?
I believe all those things should be considerations. I'm not saying one way or the other that I feel strongly that it shouldn't be such a large building. I'm just saying that I think that the design elements need to be fully considered before before the variance becomes a foregone conclusion.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Start my time. Could I just say that I would like to share, we have additional names on a petition that was already submitted to you. And I'd just like to use the photo or the design drawing that the project sponsor provided to us as context of what I'm to speak to.
Hello, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Robin Tucker. I'm the co-chair of the Pacific Avenue Neighborhood Association. It's commonly known as PANA. It's a community group whose goal is to encourage new development that enhances and preserves the neighborhood character and diversity and maintains community access to open space, sunlight, and air. We wrote to you expressing PANA's concern and objection to the variance request by the project sponsor for 1360-1370 Pacific Avenue. Specifically, we oppose the variance request for rear yard setback, Section 134 of the Planning Code. The subject property is within the Pacific Avenue neighborhood's NCD, and the NCD was established in June 2007. We worked with community leaders, business leaders, the planning department. We secured over 325 signatures of families, residents, who wanted to preserve our existing housing stock, our design, and the low to moderate rise development that we had in the neighborhood. Of great concern was preserving our open space, the limited amount that we have. We are the most dense neighborhood in San Francisco and perhaps only third in the whole country per square foot. Another goal is to preserve the livability, especially on our narrow right-of-way alleys. We have a number of alleys in our neighborhood which are either run parallel to Pacific Avenue or are adjacent to Pacific Avenue. The key components of the Pacific Avenue NCD include a 40-foot height limit or less and a 45% rear yard setback. This particular project that the project sponsor has presented, it is definitely unique. However, the Pacific Avenue NCD requires a 40-foot height limit, and that includes the parapets and any roof decks and everything else, and it's intended to be very restrictive. There were only two families, including Mr. Tang's, that objected to this legislation when it occurred back in 2007. We have met with the project sponsor to share the neighborhood community's concern. In addition to the rear yard's variance requests, the following topics were discussed. Overall height and mass of the two buildings are out of context to the existing neighborhood design and character. I believe the design that they provided to us shows their project in relation to the buildings that are adjacent to it. Just 30 seconds more, please. From Lynch Street, the building is 58 feet tall and will be an imposing structure on a very narrow street and create a wall effect and a terrible precedent for the community. And the rear of the building is set along a very narrow alley, and loss of privacy is a serious concern, especially with the multiple proposed decks. In summary, PANA opposes the variance request to the 45% rear yard setback and asks that you deny the variance, please. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any concerns with the garage entries, or is it related?
Absolutely, if I may. The garage entry, they want to have expanded the curb allowance, and this will just, in addition, provide even less of the public access along the street. So they're going to cut away a sidewalk that exists there now to allow for an open, more open space, and they're proposing two of those. That's for each building.
So how would the wider curb cut limit public access?
Well, the curb goes up into the sidewalk, so
it's the ramping of
that's exactly
the curb
right.
Cut.
Yeah.
Okay. And
exactly.
I mean, building Department of Public Works does have requirements to ensure that access can still be maintained. So they would have to warp appropriately in such a way that they would not be diminishing public access in terms of usability of that. Excuse me, of the sidewalk.
We would hope that's true, but building out to the street, it already narrows what open space we have.
So
building out the entire lot.
Are there any other properties that front on, that are through lots between Pacific and Lynch that have rear yards?
There are, but there's very few, including Mr. Tang has a rear yard at this time.
Yeah, because, well, one of them does, right? I mean, I think the 1364 Pacific appears to go all the way to the rear property line, and the 1370 is a fairly short building.
Fairly short building.
Right.
And that's one of the considerations that we had when we were looking at this legislation. It took 5 years to get this passed, so we really fully vetted this legislation before it was passed in 2007. And so what we hoped to do was preserve what we had and encourage any new development. We understand that this lot size is really quite small, and like yourself, we asked the question, could you not combine the two? And Mr. Tang and his family did share with us about the limited resources. However, the legislation is so critical to the community and beyond because of the precedent that it sets, and one of the
critical elements of the legislation was that 45% rear yard setback. And when you...
Sorry, the time is up, but sorry. I just want to, if you get to answer a couple questions that I have. Are there any proposals that would include a project that goes to the rear property line that panel would be in support of?
No.
Okay, so it's absolute no waiver of the 45% requirement. So they're looking at developing something with a, given that it's a 60-foot lot, you know, about, what, 35 or so feet, 33 feet would be
no,
the actual...
No. We, as part of the legislation, when we have a lot that is the character of this particular lot where we have a street and we have an alley that border on the rear and the front, there is an exception, and that is a 25% rear yard setback. They're seeking an exception to the exception.
So you would be supportive of something with a
25% rear yard setback. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, and that at all levels and not extending to the rear property line at any level, even though essentially every other property that has access to Lynch on this side of the street goes to their rear property line. So it does seem to be the character. It's just you would, for these two properties, you would not like to see that happen.
Well, it's not just these two properties, because any property along Lynch Street could come back and say, we would like to demolish our building and build a new building, and we want to build out to the entire lot size. And we would say, yes, but there's a 45% rear yard setback zoning, and there is a, on your particular lot, if it's on the north side of Lynch Street, there is an exception where you have either adjacent properties that you average, and the minimum is 25% rear yard setback. And in that particular case, we would say the same thing. So what's good for Mr. Tang has to be good for everybody that's on the north side of the Lynch Alley, okay. And that means it'll be bad for everybody on the south side of Lynch Alley.
Thank you for your comments. We'll see if there's any other public comment on this item. I'm sure there are. Thank you. The next member of the public, please.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Adar Gandhi, and I happen to live directly across from the proposed development at 68 Lynch Street. These graphics, which are not showing up too well in the context of this projector, but basically the proposed project is where my finger is pointing, where the sun is coming through bright and clear, and directly across from it is my property where I am staying, along with my landlady, who will also be providing her comments in a few minutes. We were provided with what they refer to as sun study. This was a 4-second video that just made no sense to us. We put it on different computers and looked at it, etc. We have established that currently Lynch is 94% shaded as it exists. They're putting the property, maximizing their footprint, going up to the property line, will shade Lynch by an additional 2%, meaning 98% of Lynch will be completely shaded. Lynch is considered one of the, at this point in time, as you can see from this photograph that I'm showing, the brightest sunshine is as a result of the existing situation. Lynch will be in almost in complete shade if this is allowed to happen, and that does not go in our favor. When we contacted the city and county, because we have seen documents that imply that alleys are protected and the city and county would give favorable treatment to alleys. This document was produced 10 years ago. I got in touch with the two individuals. One doesn't work for the city anymore. The other individual referred me to Mr. Guy. And in getting in touch with Mr. Guy, we established that that may not be awarded to this alley, any kind of a special status. However, we do live on an alley. The city seems to be taking the position that it wants these alleys to be celebrated and preserved, and yet in allowing this to happen, they're going completely contrary to that intent. Mr. Guy said that in an email to us that the regarding is actually a modification governed by a separate section of the code, section 134. I looked at that section of the code, and 134's intent is, in all of these matters, if whatever you do does not land up affecting the amount of sunshine dramatically, and I'm using my words, and in this particular case, we have established that by this building going in there, and I'll wrap up in literally the next second, that particular sunshine on our respective places would be affected to the tune of 30%. In other words, what we're seeing existing would be taken away to the tune of 30%. And if that's not substantial, then I don't know what is. So I'm respectfully requesting that you not grant this variance.
Thank you. So you live directly across Lynch from the subject property. The photos that you showed, what time of year were those taken?
These were literally taken yesterday.
Okay.
By me when I was, and it was at about 1 or 2 in the afternoon.
Okay. And then is the issue with the access of the sunlight access on the alley itself or to your property?
Both. As you can see in that photograph, and I have no aversion to putting them back on. In fact, I do have 2 photographs I would like to turn into the record.
It's
Lynch Alley itself. As far as properties to the right and left of where this property is proposed to be built.
And so most of the shadow that's existing on Lynch are from properties, existing properties that are, you know, 3 stories tall at the rear that actually go to the rear property line.
That
the subject property would not propose that.
Regardless, we have done our own study.
Okay.
And although what you're saying is correct, that there's a step, take away considerable.
Thank you. We do need to get through the rest of the items, so next member of the public, please step forward. Thank you for your comments.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, Mr. Sanchez. Hello. My name is Rosemary Ovian. I am here today to speak up about the development across the street from my home. I live at 62 Lynch Street. 20 years ago this month, I moved into my home on Lynch Street. The first time I saw my home, I knew it was the one for me. It had all the character, charm, and benefits of urban living. The size and scale of the home made it optimal for a first-time buyer. It's a small, single-family home of about 1,000 square feet. Over the years, I've remodeled and taken care of it, but always with a mindset to keep it true to its original intention, a small home in a desirable residential neighborhood. Lynch Street is only 10 feet wide from curb to curb and has no street parking at all. It offers the residents respite from the busy cross streets and the constant flow of traffic. It also brings the neighbors in closer proximity than most streets, hence the concern regarding the exclusion of the rear yard setback. The alleys in this part of the city are part of its unique character and living space, not drab and commercial canyons like those created south of Market. I understand the desire for the Tangs to develop their property. However, my major concern over the proposed project is that the scale sets a precedent for all of the other buildings on the block of Pacific and turns Lynch Street into a dark, shaded, characterless street where none of the long-term or future residents will enjoy living a piece of the San Francisco dream as it currently exists. Small-scale, single-family, and 2-unit homes will have no choice but to exist in the shadows of the proposed buildings or tear down and rebuild. Is that the inevitable future for this part of the city too? Please help those of us that don't believe that bigger and higher is necessarily better. Allow development within the scale of existing buildings with the cooperation of the residents it will affect the most. I respectfully request that you deny this variance request and keep this project within the scale of the existing buildings on the block in accordance with existing legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Appreciate it.
Mr. Sanchez, good morning. My name is Camila Yedahom, and I am a panel member. I'm a homeowner at 72 Lynch Street, across the street from the proposed development at 1364-1370 Pacific Avenue. The overall height and mass of the two buildings proposed at this address are out of context with small-scale design and character of our neighborhood, especially on this very narrow two-way street alley. Also, additionally, ingress and egress of cars put off garages and on this alley would create a safety hazard for public vehicles trying to navigate the street in case of an emergency. For these reasons and those my neighbors have shared, I respect the request that you deny the variance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Sanchez, good morning. My name is Jouni Heikkinen, and I live in 72 Lund Street. I have worked this project and that subject on this hearing. The object, the variance request for 1964-1970 Pacific Avenue. We have invested substantial time and money in effort to work with the project sponsor on the development design that for the neighborhood suitable and will be accommodate the sponsor. On two separate the timing, we have met the project sponsor to discuss with his the family and architect. We asked at those meetings for project sponsor to reply to our proposal. On neither time as project sponsor not responded. They have not responded also to our modification suggestion, what we have sent it to them. The project sponsor is proposing decks at every level above the street, including the roof, not for the one property, but the two properties side by side. That would be total 8 decks facing the living rooms of neighborhood like myself, which would be completely avoid any privacy we currently enjoy. Any noise from decks will be heard throughout as a narrowness on the street, and the height of proposed building will be great. The echo chamber increasing the sound of from the decks. Lund Street is only 10 feet wide, curb to curb. And Pacific Avenue is also narrow street. Most of the buildings on the north side, Pacific Avenue, between Hyde and Leavenworth, are only two-story above a garage. If the variance is granted, my home will be lost to any privacy that we now enjoy, and my property will be no longer be livable. And the potential for the significant noise levels from each deck levels will be echoed throughout on the street. Allowing this variance is contrary to low to moderate high development design in the neighborhood. For this reason, I respectfully request that variance will be denied. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez.
Good morning.
My name is Marilyn Spazy. I reside at 70 Lynch Street. My family has lived on Lynch Street for 3 generations since the late 1920s. I have several points I would like to make. First, if the variance is approved, the project will reduce sunlight on a very narrow street. Secondly, the proposed decks at every level of the project will allow people to look into my home. That bothers me. Three, any activity emanating from the decks will create considerable noise on Lynch Street neighbors. And fourthly, the height of the project will not enhance the small character of my neighborhood. Mr. Sanchez, I respectfully ask that you deny the variance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Mary McGuire. I'm a member of PANA. I've lived at 38 Lynch Street for the past 32 years, and I object to the variance. As others have mentioned, the project sponsor is attempting to build out the entire lot with no rear yard setback, and it's completely contrary to the 2007 legislation that Ms. Tucker brought up to you, which restricts the development to 40 feet or less and requires that 45% rear yard setback. As others have mentioned, it's a very narrow alley. It's only 10 feet wide. And the design is basically just inappropriate for such a narrow street. As I mentioned, it's 58 feet on the Lynch Street side. So this is totally, it's just out of context with the neighborhood character. So I ask that you deny the variance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Morning. My name is Kendra Boardman. I'm a resident of 1355 Pacific Avenue, directly across the street on Pacific Avenue. And I'm here today to request that you deny their variance request as well. As previously mentioned, the building is out of character with the neighborhood design and the rest of the buildings on the north side of Pacific Avenue, as well as Lynch Street. It's mid-blocks and would dwarf adjacent buildings, creating an unpleasant neighborhood aesthetic. To illustrate that point, one of the other owners in my building called it a giant middle finger in the middle of the street upon seeing the architectural mock-ups. The impact on the historical alleyway you've heard a lot about, it'd be dramatic, taking away light from our neighbors and disrupting their privacy. It's also my understanding that given the current design, the height of the roof doorway would exceed the current legislative allowance. On behalf of myself, I respectfully request that you deny this variance. Thank you.
Thank you. So you said you live in 1355?
Yes.
And how many stories is that building?
It's five, including the garage.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Gail Kwan, and I'm a member of PANA and also a resident of 1355 Pacific Avenue. I'm here to object to the request for a variance because the proposed project would negatively impact the small neighborhood character of the street and does not fit with the cityscape of the northern block of the northern section of the block. Specifically, it would be, my estimate is about at least two stories higher than the other buildings on the northern block, since most of those are only two or three floors, which would be inconsistent with, I guess, like the look of that block. I also join all the other residents in their comments regarding the effect on the neighbors and respectfully request that the variance be denied.
Thank you.
My name is Jim Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E. I'm the owner of the adjacent property at 1372 and 1374 Pacific. I know many of my neighbors have come up and objected to the property. I, on the other hand, support the property. The next door lot, which is next to my building, is the only one that goes in on that alley. It's out of character now. The front of his building, to be quite frank, has been an embarrassment to me for many years. So I'm very happy that something is being done. The Tang family has been very kind to me in all these years. I understand that Mr. Tang wants to retire there with his wife. And I think that as San Francisco changes and he's prepared to adapt to it, what he proposes to replace it with is far better than anything that exists there now. And I've owned the property since March of 2000, so I've been here a long time. I understand my neighbor's concerns, but I would be very happy to see something done to that property because right now, to me, it's a huge eyesore. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Kathleen Courtney. I'm Chair of Housing and Zoning for the Russian Hill Community Association, and we're just the neighborhood association north of PANA. Absolutely no question that there is a need for something to be done with the property, and I join in that request. I want to call to your attention that we are all aware that the Pacific Avenue Neighborhood Commercial District is a unique district with unique guidelines. We're also aware that 1355 Pacific, where two of the speakers reside, was grandfathered in when the zoning went in 2007, because basically it was so long along the process. PANA was opposed to the height limit at that time. This is the neighborhoodscape of the current project on Pacific. This is the neighborhoodscape of the current project on Lynch. I am here because alleys are unique in San Francisco. And at the intersection of Hyde and Green, just a couple blocks away, we have five alleys that would be affected by any decision you make. As you know, neighborhood groups live and die by zoning administrator interpretations, and we go back and we look at them years and years. We have used your predecessor's interpretations in discussions on Russell. We have five alleys: Russell, Delgado, Warner, Eastman, White, and a couple more outside of the two block. This is a precedent-setting decision. There are entities on each of those five alleys that would fall under any type of a decision having to do with rear yard setback. So Russian Hill Community Association is very concerned about the impact any decision you may make about rear yard variance on the alleys in our area. And for that reason, we strongly urge you to deny this variance. And we also encourage the planning department to take a broader look at the idea of alleys, because what's happening right now is that piecemeal projects are coming before you, and we'll keep on standing up and calling to your attention the fact that we have to do things to preserve the unique quality that alleys bring to our cityscape. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. And just wanted to clarify again, the in terms of the process, this is a rear yard modification, so it's not a variance. It's subject to a hearing and the noticing, similar to a variance, but the findings are different. And so in Russian Hill, I think most of the zoning will be RH and RM, which actually would have a variance requirement. This is a modification because it's a neighborhood commercial
district. Okay, so finding four, which has to do with granting the variance, it would not be materially injurious. I'm coming to you to say that I think it would set a precedent for our other alleys. And are you saying that that is not true?
No, because this is a different zoning district. This is a neighborhood commercial district, which has a different process. It's a rear yard modification, so it's not subject to the five findings, the hardship, et cetera. We have a hearing on it, but the findings are actually different. And so
appreciate that clarification.
Yeah, just so and variances in general are not precedent setting because by their nature, they're looking at the specifics of the property. So in my mind and how I review variances, I don't see them as precedential in that, you know, we're always going to grant.
We'll remember that when we quote you one of your interpretations.
Do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So is there any other public comment on this item?
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Paul Burke. I primarily came out to support my neighbors in opposition of the modification. I, you know, agree with many of the comments made in opposition to the variance, and I personally just don't see how the variance makes for a better project for the community or for the people on Lynch Alley, which is a very tiny alley, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Any other public comments on this item? These items. Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Yes. Limited time, I'm going to be as fast as I can. I think there's a couple of erroneous information that I'd like to just clarify, or just a misunderstanding about the project. First of all, with the curb cuts, there's actually we're not really adding more curb cut. We're going to limit the curb cut to the city standards just to get into the garage. One of the lots has a complete curb cut along the entirety of the lot. Regarding the overall height, the building height is designed per planning code, measured from Pacific Avenue to a 40-foot height. The penthouse is an item that's come up a lot as, you know, being considered as part of that additional height. The penthouse is required by building code if you're above four stories. And Not only is it required if there's access, then you also it has to be a stairway. And so, therefore, that adds 8 feet, and that's a fair comment. However, that penthouse is only a small portion. It's less than 20% of the roof, and it's also set back from both the front and the rear, so it's not very visible. These renderings are accurately placed on the site to show, you know, what you'd see from an angle looking from across Pacific Avenue, for example. And likewise, this is one from Lynch Street. So you can see that a lot of times the building is going to be very hard to be seen. I think the renderings that everyone's pointing to were really shown to give a very fair view of the project, but actually the way you can really experience this site is much different than that bird's eye view that we've shown. Shadows, I did prepare a shadow study at Eric's expense. He was not required to do that, and it was available online. We also showed it to our neighbors in person, the few that came to the meetings that we had. I'm happy to walk through that. It's not a four-minute video. I can understand that I'm not a technologist, so I'd be happy to show anyone again, but it has a slider with a date and time that you can see, and we did it on all the equinoxes, and I'm happy to submit that, and I've submitted it to Kevin Guy. Screening on the decks, let's see, we're going to provide screening on the rear decks via planting to assist in creating additional privacy. I've done that on many of my projects, and it's very effective, including plants like bamboo and some other species that create a nice green screen without limiting
light. Some of the decks come off of the bedroom, so it's not.
Right.
And they're set back continually as they go up. The rear yard, there are rear yard setbacks. I think there was a comment that saying this is not set back, but the rear yard, it is set back on every level except for the commercial level. And the first floor is a basement, which is not considered a story because it's below grade. And let's see. The 1355 Pacific is actually a six-story building, much taller than ours, and I know there's opposition coming from there, but they're looking over the top of our building.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I add one comment? So right now we have a setback.
I'm sure if you use the microphone, but thanks.
So we have a setback at 1370 behind 1370 Pacific right. Avenue. So in our experience while owning the property, it's actually been a prime spot for crime. So we have vandalism, burglary, homeless people sleeping there. It's just if one property is set back and everyone else is not, then it just attracts a lot of criminals.
Thank you. Just a few questions. Did you look at an alternative which did have a 25% rear yard at all levels? Was that discussed? Or?
Well, we can easily provide the 20. We're already having a 25% rear yard at all the levels except the first residential level. Right. To get that, we would have to set back another 5 feet. It limits because of vertical circulation on these narrow lots, it makes those floor plates very hard to use. And it was our feeling that because of the sun axis plane being the more restrictive of the setbacks and that the rear yard is variable, we wanted to request to see if we can create a more livable space, a better type of housing, by extending but limiting ourselves via the sun access plane.
You said the stair penthouse is a building code requirement given the number of stories. And
it is.
And so what was the trigger? At
four stories.
So at four stories,
yes,
you need that.
And it's required. I have that code section if you want to see it, although it's digital format. I'd have to
you could email it to staff. Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. And if you were to remove that fourth story, that's a large master bedroom, there would still be two bedrooms at the level below that, and that doesn't work for...
Our original plans were for a four-bedroom, and then when we came across the sun access plane, we just had to knock down one bedroom already. So right now, the plan is for my parents to live there, for my sister and her daughter.
Okay.
So this three bedrooms is what we need.
Okay. And the building permit application has not yet been submitted, which would have triggered the Section 312 notification. And I think staff had mentioned that to you, that it might be a better solution to go through the entire process at once. Was there a reason that you didn't submit the building
permit? It's for financial reasons. We just couldn't come up with the funds for the permits.
Okay. Because, if the rear yard modification and the garage variants are granted, the building permit would have the notification, which would trigger, you know, most likely a discretionary review given the comments of the neighbors, and that could have further changes in the design of the project. I mean, the Planning Commission may be acceptable with even more of a rear yard modification than you're proposing, but want a story removed. I mean, so there's, I guess it's much easier in these, especially when there's kind of concerns from the neighbors, to process them together. And I mean, is that something that you're would be willing to do or able to do? I mean,
we ideally wanted to submit both together, but it kind of came back to economic reasons. And Kevin Guy explains all the consequences of not doing it together.
Okay. All right.
Are you asking us if we would increase the building floor plates in lieu of the sun access plane?
Well, just in terms of what the Planning Commission may want to see happen. I think, I mean, it may be maximized as it is given the sun access plane, but I think I would want to see what the Planning Commission has to say in terms of what they would want to do and if they would want to have changes to the project as well. So that's something that I frankly have given only a little bit of thought to, but
I think we'd welcome that discussion.
We
built within the constraints of the zoning for the most part, with the exception of the rear yard setback, which we're close to that requirement. But we were told all along, and we had a pre-application meeting and meetings informally at the counter, planning counter, where we got no indication that the sun access plane was in any way variable.
Yeah, and I think that is most likely the case. And if you've already maximized out per the 45%, then the commission's ability to make changes other than just simply taking a story off or denying the project outright may be limited. So I think it's something that I would like to consider further. So I think at this point I'm going to close the public hearing, be taking the matter under advisement. You know, I do see justification for a rear yard modification here. I'm a little concerned in that we have a kind of almost a two-step process here. This variance, which could then be appealed, the Board of Appeals may have a different opinion, you know, but then subsequently a building permit, which would have a DR and then could be appealed. Ideally, these processes are wound into one. I understand there may be limitations that prevent that, but and the citation about the requirement for the stair penthouse would be excellent to have as well, confirming that, and I can confirm that separately with building department as well. But appreciate everyone for coming today, and so again, public hearing is closed, taking the matter under advisement. If anyone would like a copy of the decision letter, then please make sure that you've signed in for this item, you know, either or both items, and we will let you know when we have a decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is the last of item on the regular calendar. There's a general public comment now, if anyone has a general public comment. Seeing none, this hearing is closed, and we will reconvene on May 28th, 2014. Thank you.